Hi, everybody. I hope you guys are all excited for our amazing episode with Dr. Jill Bolte-Taylor. And if you guys aren't too familiar with her, go and check out her absolutely viral video that went out when she did her TED Talk. She literally put TED Talks on the map. I think hers was the first video, the first TED Talk that went completely viral. She's had millions and millions of hits on it. Just put in Jill Bolte-Taylor and TED Talk and My Stroke of Insight, and you can see she does an amazing recount of her experience of going through a left-sided stroke where literally her left side of her brain was shutting down and she was getting pulled directly into the right side of the brain. And she kind of shares her experience of what it was like to be literally catapulted into this state of euphoria and oneness with all things and infinite love, and then kind of going back into the left side of the brain on what needed to practically get done, like call the hospital and take care of things. And this experience of her going back and forth. After that TED Talk went crazy, she wrote her book on My Stroke of Insight and then broke down all of the lessons that she learned from that. And now this is about 13 years later, she wrote another book called Whole Brain Living, which came out just a couple of years ago. And she helps to walk us through the different aspects of the brain and how we can create very specific relationships with those different pieces in order to live really a full life and get out of the programming and the conditioning that we often get stuck in. And how do we access those areas like that she did through that experience with a stroke? She helps us actually do that on our own without having to go through a stroke. So I think you guys are going to find this really, really fascinating. Her book is fabulous. Dr. Jill is just a wonderful, wonderful person. We so enjoyed being able to talk to her, an absolute gift. And I think you're just going to find that she's got so much to say and just another perspective on how we can make really significant changes in our life and live a life that has more meaning and purpose. Speaking about meaning and purpose, we've done a lot of conversations in the past around choice and our ability to actually make different choices and access that part of us that really is looking out for the highest good for us. And one of the groups that I've interviewed a couple times over the years has been the Heart Math Institute, because I really think they do a really wonderful job of literally creating a technology that we can measure heart rate variability and see if we are in this coherent state where our brain and our hearts are actually communicating from a neurochemical perspective. And what they found is that when you are in those states, you make much better choices. So a lot of times when Tay and I have to make big choices, we will make sure we are in that state before we make those choices, because if we're not, and we're acting from more of that stressed part of ourselves, we're not tapping into that insight and that wisdom and that intuition, and we often don't make such great decisions. So this has been something that's come up a lot for a long time, and I wanted to bring some awareness to an absolutely free resource that I created a little while back called Accessing Your Heart's Wisdom Meditation. And I'm going to post a link here. Go there and you can download the meditation for free. It takes you through the exercise that we do to help get into a heart-brain coherent state. And then the next step of it actually takes you where you ask specific questions and you are actually asking your heart and you're asking for that intuitive wisdom to surface and to give you answers. And so this is a really great exercise I think everybody can use, even if you just use it as a meditation to get into a coherent state. And then take it the next step farther in the second part of the meditation where you actually can pose specific questions to yourself and see what answers surface. You'll get more of like a tangible sensation. In the meditation, we walk through the different ways that your heart may be speaking to you, or that that intuitive guidance actually surfaces. So, amazing resource that I don't think a lot of people are aware of. I'll put a link there. That's actually on the drjasonlokin.com website, and you would just click under Integrated Medicine, and you'll see it right there. But I'll put a link for you. The other free resource that I don't think people know about too much is I created a 7-part mini series called Dissolving Origins of Disease, because I just found, going through all of these interviews and just what I've seen clinically, there's certain categories that I think really must be addressed and looked at in order to really heal from disease and turn on that natural healing ability within the body. So I'll put a link for that too. If you just go to the inspirehealthpodcast.com, scroll down, I think about three levels down, you'll see that. It's a free download as well. It's a 7-part video mini series that I did where I do an overview of a specific topic, and then I might link you to specific video clips that I think outline that in much more detail. So again, a totally free resource, amazing information there that you guys can all dive into. And lastly, if you haven't checked it out yet, go and check out my newest ebook on Natural First Aid Essentials for Every Family. I go through 6 major categories, and we look at everything from tummy troubles to cold, flu, and immune support to fever comfort, ear and sinus congestion, bumps, bruises, burns and scrapes, bee stings, bites, and rashes. And we cover all of that, and I basically show you what are a lot of the things that we do. How can you work with a lot of these first aid scenarios for yourself and for your children, for your family, using natural solutions? So whether that is specific supplements that I think are important to have, or home remedies that you can make with easy stuff that you can find at your grocery store, there's a lot of stuff you can do on your own to mitigate the vast majority of first aid scenarios that you guys come in contact with. I really want people to feel more empowered around their health. And a part of that is to have the information and the know-how, and then actually prepare yourself a first aid kit that's a natural first aid kit, and have your stuff on hand and know how to use it. So when the time comes, you can go right there and start to integrate some of these things. If you are a parent, I definitely find you want to have this stuff on hand for your kids so that you know what to do right away. So many things you can do will mitigate downstream problems and nip them in the bud before they ever become a problem. Like, for example, if your child has a sore throat or some sinus congestion, you need to get on that stuff right away before it eventually becomes more of a problem that might lead to like an earache, or then they need to go to antibiotics or something along those lines. A lot of things you can do right off the bat to try to prevent downstream problems. So that's kind of the goal with that book, and put the power back in your hands. So I'll put a link for that too. I hope you guys enjoy this video. We so loved talking to Dr. Jill Bolte Taylor and all of the guests that we are talking to here. This is a really fascinating experience to just pay attention to these different episodes. A lot of the information in here is likely going to challenge different beliefs that we've got. We've all been brought up with specific beliefs and ways of thinking about life and death and afterlife, and we tie it with spirituality or religion. Our goal here is to just bring lots of information in that we think has value to it, see what lands for you, see what doesn't, and notice where we get triggered. If we come across something that really doesn't resonate with us or kind of shakes our understanding of something, one thing I've been really curious in myself is to notice, when do I get sort of triggered? When do I feel like, oh, that's just wrong because it doesn't fit with my belief system of something else? There's nothing wrong with that, but I think it's interesting to pay attention to. More and more, I am really exploring the idea of not strongly accepting or rejecting anything, and knowing that we kind of live in this fluidic model that things change depending on the context of the situation. Things will change. I will have a different idea of my beliefs may shift from moment to moment. I want them to be able to expand and shift. So stay open, stay curious. When you feel yourself shutting down too much, maybe just check to see why you're shutting down, or why does that not resonate so much? And again, not good or bad. It's just to be curious about it. All of this is to facilitate more expansion and understanding for all of us. So share your comments. Thank you so much for those people that are sharing your comments. It always helps to create a conversation, because I think if you have comments, a lot of other people have the same question, or maybe are having different questions, and it facilitates a conversation to start to develop. So thank you so much for watching these episodes. We think they're really important and timely. And feel free to please share the information if you think others would benefit from it. Like, subscribe, all of that helps us a lot in getting the information out. So thank you so much, and I hope you're enjoying the series. Talk to you guys soon. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Inspire Health Podcast. And this is our third episode in our newest series called Life, Death, and Beyond, Exploring Our Greater Reality. And we are absolutely super, super excited to have Dr. Jill Bolte Taylor with us today. And if you haven't seen, Dr. Jill is probably best known for having the absolutely most viral TED Talk that I think you put out back in 2008. It's had like over 27.5 million views now. And this is really where she documented her experience of having a left hemisphere brain stroke and actually being able to go through the whole experience. And particularly because Dr. Jill is a neuroscientist, she was able to see it from that perspective and sort of make sense of the experience that you were going through. But if you haven't watched the video, I'll put a link to that because it's absolutely a must watch. It will, and incredibly moving. I know at the end of that, I always get welled up and moved to tears with it because I feel like it just touches such a profound depth of who I think we absolutely are. So I think this is like 12 or 13 years later, Dr. Jill, you've written another book called Whole Brain Living. And this is really designed to help us better choose who and how we want to be in the world, regardless of the external circumstances that we find ourselves in. And what an absolutely timely book to have out, I think, in where we currently are in the world. I think this is information that everybody can absolutely benefit from. And we feel blessed to have Dr. Jill with us today to be able to share her insights with us. So thank you so much for joining our show, Jill.
Thank you. I'm very excited. I think that our subjects resonate very well together. So I'm excited about our conversation. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
And that first TED Talk that Jason was speaking of is based on your first book, My Stroke of Insight. And for those of you who are not familiar, we highly recommend it. It's we've actually aired that video of TED Talks based on your book numerous times, even during the retreats that we've had in the past, because it definitely rattles people in a different way. And it's definitely very moving.
Thank you.
What's really neat is in this series, we have lots of different people that we're speaking with, and a lot of them have actually had near-death experiences and been over to the other side and come back. And partly what we want to do is hear what, because it really is quite a transformative experience. You know, I remember a teacher of mine once, Dr. David Hawkins, would talk about near-death experiences were an extremely high state of consciousness that you kind of get catapulted into. And so people come back with certain knowings because it's so experiential too. And so they know it with such a sense of certainty because they felt it. And you went through such a unique experience because you literally went through almost the death of an aspect of your brain and then again the rebirth of it, and we're able to kind of see it from both sides. So I'd love maybe just to give a bit of an overview for people that aren't super aware of that experience, maybe just briefly what kind of went on with that and what your biggest insights were that you took back with you when you came back out of it and healed.
Yeah, certainly. So first of all, you know, I've never seen my experience as a near-death experience because I didn't have any of the normal packaging. I wasn't outside of myself looking at myself. I didn't have the light. I didn't have the visitation. I didn't have any of that. But what I did have was, I was growing up, I was a pretty much right hemisphere dominant person. I was very playful. I was very creative and open, very musical, very athletic, very artistic. And those are skill sets pretty much of the right hemisphere. And I had a brother who was diagnosed with schizophrenia, who was kind of just this side of genius. We didn't know he was going to have schizophrenia when he grew up. All we knew was he was a top academic performer. So because he did that, I didn't have to do that because that satisfied my parents' desire to have a highly achieving child, right? So it was really nice for me. I could just live my life. And my poor mother wondered if my left hemisphere would ever turn on. And so I go to college and then I took anatomy and I fell madly in love with the subject of anatomy. And so my left hemisphere turned on and I was fascinated with the body, with the brain, with the tissue, just with physiology, how it all works. And I wanted to be a researcher and I wanted to specialize in how does our brain create our perception of reality. Because at a biological level, my brother was the closest thing to me that existed in the universe, but he was very different from me in his perception of reality, and then how he interacted with the world. So I studied at a cellular level what is going on between the differences of a normal control brain, which I considered mine to be, and the brains of people with schizophrenia, schizoaffective, bipolar disorder, panic disorder, anxiety, and OCD. So I was looking at the cellular differences in how our brain was wired. And then, as irony has it, the universe says, be careful what you want to know, little girl. And so, you know, I have this major hemorrhage in the left half of my brain, and it takes offline my identity, my individuation, my ego center, my language centers, a group of cells that defines the boundaries of where I begin and where I end. That goes offline because that's a group of cells in the left hemisphere, as well as the linearity of time. I had no past. I had no future. I shifted into the consciousness of my right hemisphere, which is all a right here, right now, big as the universe experience. So I that was what happened in response to that hemorrhage. But during, I got to watch that left hemisphere circuit by circuit breakdown through the eyes of a scientist, because I think in circuits, I think, and I could visualize when things were gone and offline. So I knew what I had lost. I could watch this hemorrhage going on inside of my brain. And then when I woke up on the afternoon of the stroke, I was absolutely completely disabled. I could not walk, talk, read, write, or recall any of my life. And in that experience, having lost the identity as Jill Bolte Taylor, neuroanatomist, all my credentials, all the details about me, in the absence of that, I and the cells that left defined the boundaries of where I begin and ended, I felt as big as the universe, and I was completely 100% in the present moment. So for me, I did not have at that point this near-death experience of going beyond that, because my right hemisphere was still functioning. So what I gained was this real insight into what is in that left hemisphere. What is in that right hemisphere when that left hemisphere is no longer inhibiting it? And then what did I need to do in order to use my left, my right hemisphere, which I could still, for example, think in pictures. So I could have reconstructed for you, sculpted for you an abdomen, a human abdomen, but I lost the left hemisphere language to name the different parts of the stomach. So I could then use my right hemisphere to rebuild that left hemisphere circuitry until I really became aware of, okay, what does that really mean when you rebuild those skill sets?
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Delightful news, air travelers. Going in and out of airports without getting sick can be challenging. Time to take charge of the air you breathe with Nasal Guard. Nasal Guard topical gel defends by blocking harmful airborne particles and viruses. Try Nasal Guard for air travelers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, aunt and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely fascinating. One thing I was wondering, Jill, is after when, I mean, you talk about it so beautifully in the TED Talk, when you were in that state of that, just that oneness and that expansiveness, because, I mean, it was like that was all there was almost at that time. You were fully in that. Do you still find, like, now that everything is kind of healed and you're kind of everything's pulled together, are you still able to connect to the same expansiveness and oneness? Is that something that is that you're able to still do without having to go through that type of an experience?
Absolutely. So in fact, my agreement with myself during this process of recovery was that I liked it there. I like it in the present moment. It's peaceful. It's blissful. It's curious. It's creative. It's innovative. It's possibilities. And it's exciting. I love being in the right atmosphere of the right here, right now experience of being connected to all that is. So for me, my agreement was I will do what I need to do, and I will sacrifice just enough of how the right brain perceives being a part of everything to be able to regain the function of those circuits so that I can speak language. I can regain the boundaries that I perceive myself to begin and end at where the air meets my skin. I'm willing to rebuild those circuits, but when those personalities came back online that wanted to be dominant, it was like, no, we're not doing that anymore. Because the two hemispheres have completely different value structures. The left hemisphere, where me, the ego, I am Jill Bolte Taylor, I'm a neuroanatomist, I'm an author, blah, blah, blah. Here's my phone number, here's my details. That's all in my left hemisphere. So it's a perception around me where I, the individual, am the center of my own universe. But in the right hemisphere, I don't have that perception of where I begin and end. I don't have Jill Bolte Taylor and all of her details. All I have is the experience of the present moment without the right, wrong, good, bad definition of that other hemisphere. So I was in agreement that I would sacrifice as little as possible of the right experience to become and to regrow, redevelop, rewire the left hemisphere, but I would not let the left hemisphere become dominant again. So I actually spend most of my time very fluid with my schedule, very open to experiential. I still do my art. I still do my music. Everybody calls me a pig pen. I'm a mess. I'm being creative and whatever. But then, you know, I have this wonderful skill set that got me here on time. Right. So I regained that function, but that's not my dominant me anymore. That is in service to my bigger picture experience of being a part of the whole and knowing that I am connected to all that is, and I am a part of humanity. And what I want to serve is the bigger picture of humanity, not me, the individual.
That's beautiful. It reminds me a little bit in just different ways. Sometimes we have different speakers from different perspectives and kind of talking about allowing the, you know, different conversations around whether we're talking about the heart and the different sort of information that can come from the heart versus the intellect or the true self versus the ego mind identity sort of aspect. And it was this idea of allowing the true self or the sense that comes from the heart to actually imbue the intellect with what to do. It sounds like you've really married those very well, because a lot of times I think we operate almost the opposite of that.
Yeah. Yes, that's true. But I'm a true believer, having had this experience, that the heart consciousness of compassion and openness and love is the right hemisphere thinking tissue. Mm-hmm. Every ability we have brain tissue that performs that function. We can move our body because we have motor cells that perform that function. Wipe them out, we can't do that. I can be compassionate or empathic because I have cells. That's their job, for me to be able to mirror your experience, feel that, bring it internally, reflect upon that, and connect with you, because without that, we cannot have attachment. So, and when we think about the ego self or the me, the identity of that left thinking tissue, the generally what we call the authentic self or the true self is still anatomically a part of who I am. It's that right thinking tissue, my ability to have that. And you know, when we have people who have stroke in that part of their brain, and they write to me, their biggest complaint is they can't find God. And they can't find God because they've wiped out the cells that give us, the human, the capacity to have that experience of connecting to that feeling that allows us to have that perception that we are as big as the universe in relationship to a higher being. So again, you know, for me, I keep everything. I didn't go beyond that skull, but I deeply explored what's going on in there. So that consciousness for me, it's always there. We always have that true self, that authentic self, that connection to something that is greater than me, the individual, but yet me, the individual, is still a true me, because anatomically, it's still a part of who I am. So I think there's four of us in here that are completely neuroanatomically based on the cells inside of our head.
Yeah, well, that's what you, in your book, you talk about the four different characters that make up the brain's team. So maybe we can touch on the four different characters and where those are specifically located and how they sort of operate. What are their jobs?
Yeah. So as you think about the evolution of the mammal, because we are mammals and we have unique tissue that is placed up on top, which is that thinking tissue. But we, you know, the reptile is, if we look at this as the brain stem, we have that. That's the reptilian brain. It's got the same kind of functions. And that reptilian brain is pretty much on off switches. I'm hungry, I eat, I'm done. I'm thirsty, I drink, my brain tells me to turn that off. So the reptile is these on off switches of awareness. And then on top of that, the difference between the reptile and the mammal is the addition of emotional limbic tissue. So the emotional limbic tissue is bilateral. We have two of them, one in the right hemisphere and one in the left hemisphere. And then the difference between a typical mammal and a human is the addition of new tissue, which is our thinking tissue. So we actually have these four modules of cells, two emotional and two thinking. And the fundamental differences are going to be what's going on in the right hemisphere versus what's going on in the left hemisphere. And so when you look at just the emotional tissue, this tissue is of the present moment. It brings information in through the present moment and it goes straight into that limbic tissue and it places a filter on how do I feel about what's happening in the present moment. But the limbic tissue in the left hemisphere does this absolutely miraculously amazing thing. And it takes information about the present moment and it steps out of the present moment. How on earth does that happen, right? Even at a cellular level, it steps out of the present moment into the past. So I, as an individual in that left hemisphere, that tissue gives us a past and a future. So linearity of thought is beginning in that left emotional tissue. So then we add thinking tissue on top of both of those. So in the right hemisphere, which is the experience of the right hemisphere, what does it feel like right now? What does it feel like to have earrings in or these glasses on my nose or the temperature against my skin? And then, so it's about emotion. And then the new tissue added on top is thinking in the present moment. And in the present moment, it's a perfect moment. And this is where we perceive ourselves in the absence of the beginning and end definition of that left hemisphere. So this is when we become big as the universe. We're in the present moment. We're completely aware. It's like, oh my God, I'm alive. I mean, there's this awe and wonder that I exist at all. And wow, so this is a deep sense of gratitude, and we're designed for that. So that's where if we wipe that out in stroke survivors, they can't find God. So this is our capacity to have that experience. But in the left hemisphere, those emotional cells step out of the present moment. They give us a past, they give us a future, so they give us a linearity of time. And then when the tissue, thinking tissue, comes on top, it's designed to regulate and modulate what's going on below it. So it also then has a past and it has a future, and this becomes our rational thinking brain. So when I look at it, and of course I brought you a little model of a brain, as I look at this, then the left thinking tissue, this part that goes to work. It likes to organize the external world. This is about our relationship with a civilized world and how I get myself to fit into it. So I have language, so I can communicate in the external world. I have definition and boundaries, so I know where I begin and where I end. I have deep inside, I won't go there yet, but I have all motor skill, and this is my refined abilities. This is going to define what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad. This is our A-type personality. This is the part that goes to work. This is the part that got us here on time. So, because it likes to control people, places, and things. So I call that character one, left thinking. We all have this tissue. Some of us are more developed with this than others. But we all have that tissue. Wipe out those cells, and I have no relationship with language. I lose the boundaries of where I begin and end, and my experience of interacting with the external world. I don't have a right, wrong, good, bad anymore, because that's what that tissue does. So I encourage people to name that part of who they are. Have you named your character ones? By the way, I'm just curious.
Not as yet, but we may consider doing that after this episode.
Maybe we'll post them. We'll post the names of our different characters.
Oh, absolutely. I call that one Helen. It's hell on wheels. She gets it done, right? She's busy, right? We all have this part of ourselves. And you know your friends. Just think about your friends. Some of them are very structured, very organized. The stapler goes in the place where the stapler belongs, right? And it cares that everybody in the house puts the stapler back, because it thrives in that order. So that's character one. That's the left thinking tissue of our brain. The left emotion of our brain, again, these are the beautiful cells that took information about the present moment and took it into a past and gave us linearity across time. So this is going to be all the emotion from our lifetime. So this is any trauma that little Jill had, any trauma, any addiction that we have, it's that tissue in there of the insular cortex. So this is the left emotional tissue. And this is where all the pain from our past is located. I have no pain in the present moment. Right here, right now, I'm having an experience. But my pain, any trauma, any experiences I've had, good or bad, happened, are located in this tissue. So when we go through psychoanalysis, we're just routinizing in little character two, little character two, little character two. And that can work if you're calling on the other healthy parts of your brain to interact with that part of your brain so that it can actually heal instead of just constantly revisiting trauma. Hmm. Yeah. We all have that pain, don't we?
Mm-hmm. That was really well explained. From your perspective, I guess when I'm hearing all of that, and I think about all of these older time-tested strategies where people talk about meditation and yoga and all these things, a lot of this is really designed to try to help us access more of that right brain part, okay, which ultimately I would say a lot of people have a lot of hard time trying to do that. What are we born into the world with certain areas more dominant than others? Is it a combination of what we are born with versus how they are nurtured as we go up, the society that we're currently living in? What are the things that would dictate sort of why certain characters and personalities tend to be much more dominant than some of the other ones?
Well, I think everything that you just said is true. Biologically, we come in with some wiring. environmentally, that, you know, if you have a parent who is an extreme character one who cares that you grow up to be a very uniform, conforming child, you're going to become more of that. Simply because that you're going to learn very quickly, because we're all born with this genius brain. And if that's what it's going to take in order to get your adoration and your love and your support, then I'm going to fit in the box that you want me to be in. Right. So where if you're more creative, if I have a parent who's got a disaster zone, which is a wonderful art space, and I'm allowed to go be in that mess all the time, then though that circuit is going to be environmentally stimulated. And at the same time, we live in a society that values the value structure of the left hemisphere. We are skewed to the left hemisphere, our government, our educational system. It's all about how do we develop the skill sets of those left hemisphere. And a part of that is competition and on that hierarchy. So we have a hierarchy in government. We have a hierarchy in education. We have a hierarchy in our classroom. Everything is a competition to get to the next level. But I think that equally as important is as we look at all of that, I'm a cellular structure. And change is happening constantly. And as me, the individual, becomes skewed toward the value structure of I want more, then I want to be higher on all those hierarchies than you. And that's going to be well developed. So as a society, if we're functioning, starting out with a skewed to the left society, and we want to get into the right brain in order to find some peace in there, well, you know, we use meditation. Meditation will give us a tool to preoccupy character one, language centers. Usually we're following on some imagery. Imagery pulls us a little bit off into the left hemisphere. We can repeat a mantra, or we can repeat a prayer, which is preoccupying what's going on in that character one. So it's not thinking about, you know, what I need to do tomorrow or what I'm going to do tonight for dinner and all of the planning and the scheduling. So essentially, we're preoccupying what's going on in the left so that we can open up the right. But what I love about whole brain living is it gives you a roadmap to what you're actually looking for. Where am I going? It's really hard to just go, jump in a car. How many of us are willing? Now, there is a population that does this. I'm one of them. We're wanderers. You jump in a car, you have no clue where you're going. But 3 days later, you got to be home, right? And then it's like, well, where did I go, right? It's an ongoing state of exploration. So if we're going to meditate and we don't know, what does it feel like when I arrive? Where am I going? What am I trying to achieve? Then I can have some directions. But if I don't know where I'm going, it's hard. But if I know that my little character three is a part of my brain and it's in the present moment, and I do the things I need to do in order to get myself into the present moment, and then I start engaging in activities that stimulates my character three, then boom, I just arrived. I didn't have to work so hard to get there. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's really about having a roadmap. It's not just about, I'm trying to do this. I'm using my yoga. I'm using my meditation. I'm using my tools. I'm wearing the right outfit, right? I'm going to the right studios, all that. But I'm still there and I'm doing my yoga and I'm thinking about, oh, damn, I forgot to do this. I need to put that on my to-do list when I get off of this. Okay, get myself a mnemonic so I can remember all the things I have to do when I'm out of here, right? I mean, it's just, how do you shut down? Well, if I know that that's my character one and I give her an identity and it's like, okay, I call her Helen. Helen, I'm going to set you down for a minute. I'm going to go and I'm going to be character four. I'm going to shift into the consciousness of my right thinking brain. She has a name, Queen, because we're all big as the universe, right? So Queen Toad, because I'm a little bit goofy and I live on a boat half the year. So that's my little lily pad. So Queen Toad is my character four. And Queen Toad, boom, I can go there just like that. Because I know who she is. I know what she feels like. I know how she perceives. I know how to get there because I know that part of my identity.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Good. Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet mixed with water and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home, or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colors or preservatives. Just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UKRADIO to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active. Super supplements for a super you.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world. And hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm. It is, well, and that's exactly what I was thinking when I was going through your book, is it really is a roadmap. And I do find, as much as I love a lot of the other teachings, I do find like sometimes people can be in some of those different teachings for decades and not get very far with them because the roadmap's not there. So I find like they're just kind of going all over the place. So I really like the way you break that down. And is part of why it works so well because we are
a left brain society. We need things categorized and identifiable
and affordable. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But not too affordable. You know, it's part of the marketing gig. But yeah. Again, because we're there, I think that it really boils down to this kind of thinking says, first of all, neuroanatomically, these are cells in my brain. Well, we all have the brain, right? So this is in my brain. And I can know my character one really well. Most of us know that part of ourselves. I don't know anybody who's never met their character two. And if they can't find their character two, they need to speak to their partner or spouse, right? Because they'll tell them all about their character.
They'll tell them all about it.
Exactly. So character one and character two are easy to identify. Character three, if character one was brought up in an environment or whatever the influences were that we talked about, and character one thinks that character three and being in the present moment and play and creativity is a waste of time and a waste of energy, then it will actually inhibit through that corpus callosum any of that behavior. Mm-hmm. So based on, and that's part of why I think whole brain living as this structure works so well, because you can map out who is your character one? What does she do well? What is she like, or he? Who likes your character one? Actually build the neural network. There are certain people who really like your character one. And there are really people who when you're in your little character two and you're sad or you're hurt or you're scared or you're whatever, you're going to reach out to certain people, right? You're not going to reach out to other people. So who is that network? Who do you call to self-soothe you, to soothe you with their character four? who do you call because you need a distraction? And it's like, come on, I need to go for a walk, or let's go play tennis because I need to get in my body and I need to get away from what's going on. Or if you're in your little pain of your character too, you might not want to just bitch and moan with another character too. So you got friends who you know you can call, and they're going to do that with you, right? So once you really know these four characters of yourself, build that network so that you can see the neural network of your externalization of what's going on inside of yourself. And that's pure power, because then it's like, okay, well, I just got really bad news that a friend of mine has a form of cancer. Well, in 3 minutes, I have an interview. So even though my little character two is heart is breaking, I can't be my little character two in this moment. I got to show up as my character one, and I have to give an interview. Right. And I mean, we're constantly, they're all like a big soup inside of our head. But when we learn to identify these conversations internalized, then it's like, okay, in the next moment, who do I want to be? And we have the power to choose moment by moment who and how we want to be. And that is not saying ever, I will never say just bypass your character to pain. You have to go into that pain, because it is from that pain which growth and learning happens. So it serves as this magnificent tool. But a lot of us would like to cut our little character two out because, you know, it's not our most pleasant self. But it is in that lack of pleasantness that it is teaching us very important lessons.
Yeah. I really love the concept of the personalities, because it's like, if you're wanting to develop close relationships with people, you've got to put a little bit of time into it. You have to kind of nurture that and support it. And when I think of it from a neural pathway kind of point of view, you're essentially, through the repetition of even investing the time and the energy to get to know each one of these personalities, you're going to strengthen the connection to them, so that then when you do need to bring them up, you've kind of got a stronger pathway and neural network because you've practiced it, you've reinforced it, right, over and over again. So just like anything, where if you don't, you know, if you're going to, I'm just thinking, and I'd love to get a bit more insight around addiction too, because that's almost like a whole nother layer of it that gets challenging for people. But I think what's important for people to pick up from that too, which I love about, is that you're breaking it down into really like four pretty user-friendly categories. Get to know them, invest the time, and strengthen those relationships. And then at that time, whoever you need, you can call on, and you've got a very powerful connection to them to be able to bring it in. I guess so often the time, if we're not breaking them up like that and really nurturing those relationships, we're probably going on autopilot and nurturing the same one over and over and over again. And that's why it becomes so dominant.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, the beauty of neurons is the more often you run a brain circuit, the stronger that circuit becomes. And the stronger it becomes, then it begins to run on automatic. And that's how we create new habitual thinking or emotional patterns. You know, this is and you know, this part, by looking at all four characters and really embodying them, it absolutely changes your relationships, not just inside of your own head with yourself, because now you have choice. Wow, who doesn't want choice, right? That's key to freedom. But now I'm looking at my partner and my spouse and my kids and my parents and the people I work with. And if there's four of me and there's four of them, that means in any relationship, there's eight of us. So all of a sudden it's like, well, why is it that interpersonal skills are so hard for humans? And we're just, you know, relationships are what they are, and the divorce rate is what it is. Well, it's like, because there's eight in every relationship and certain combinations work. Oh, well, maybe when one of them's being a one and the other's being a three and bringing life to the party and the other was creating order, well, that works in the beginning, because the character one finds the character three playful and everybody wants to laugh and you know, we want to celebrate in the present moment until we're in relationship. And now it's like, now I want you to put the stapler back where it belongs. What's wrong with you? Right. And so then it's in really looking at these dynamics of four and four. And so you're right, for when it comes to having deep relationships now, when I call my dearest friends, I say, how is your character one? And most of them, I know the names of their characters, and I will ask very specifically, and they will tell me very specifically. And it's like literally within 2 minutes, I know all about how my friend has been for the last couple of months because we have just cut through a ton of distracted language and gone straight to what do each of these characters value and what are they struggling with and what is going well for them. And wow, I mean, it's a beautiful form of communication.
Oh, such a powerful support for couples, and not even couples, but and parents with their kids. Yeah. I mean, gosh, I mean, how many times do you have a conversation? You can just tell you're on different paths. You're totally working on different sides and you're not speaking the same language.
Right. Yeah. And especially like inside of a coupledom, if you've got a need, let's say all of a sudden I moved into my character two, and I'm unhappy. And if somebody comes in with their character one and they want to fix it, because, you know, that's what character one does. It wants the solution. It wants to fix it. And it's like, I don't want to be fixed in this moment, right? And in a lot of the conversations of men and women, and some of the fundamental differences is men are wired to fix it. Well, why is that? It's because we have been skewed to the left hemisphere, which is character one, let's come in and fix character two. But character two might just need to be held. Mm-hmm. Character two might just need to be heard. Character two might just need to just be with me and sit in the presence of me. Or I might actually need you to wrap me up in character four love and say, you are so not alone. I've got you. So to be able to say to a partner, you know, partner comes home and says, honey, how are you? And it's like, oh, I got some bad news today. And it's like, well, what do you need? And I can say, I need your C4. And then I just automatically know what that means. Or I need you to get on the phone and fix it. Right. But it just brings a level of clarity to life and to how we communicate within ourselves, within our own lives, and with the lives of the people around us. And I truly believe that having this level of awareness, self-awareness, means I get to be who I want to be in any moment.
This comes to the end of our time for this episode. Please go to inspirehealthpodcast.com and listen to the remainder of this important episode. Thank you so much.